Right. In the name of Jesus, we continue to study the second Thessalonians. We will continue to review the chapter 1 before we proceed to chapter 2. So let's continue for review for chapter 1, question number 5. Can someone turn the light off? This light. Okay, so why would suffering make us worthy to attain the kingdom? And what is the precedent for this? What is the previous example you can recite about suffering actually make us worthy for the kingdom of God? So, why? Why? Can pick one someone to answer, okay? Maybe. Elvin. Yes. You can, okay. From verse 5, huh? From verse 5. Which is manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffer. Suffering. What is the purpose of suffering? Why God allowed this suffering to come into our life? So the purpose is to, yes, Eric.
It tests our faith and perseverance.
To test our faith. Okay, yes. To test our faith. Because our faith must be tested, go through the trials, then it can be proved that it's genuine, right? So faith is not just in your mouth. Or you proclaim by yourself, say, I have faith. No. We have to go through all different kinds of difficulty. Okay? And what is the example you can think about it? Who actually suffer a lot? Huh? Call. Give a name. Okay, Janice. Jesus Christ, okay. Jesus Christ, yeah, you can consider, yes. But there's one more other character in the Bible. He suffered a lot. Who? Job, right? Okay, answer, please. So, Satan produced circumstance. Satan is allowed by God to give us difficulty. Without God's permission, Satan cannot do anything, right? But how come God allowed the Satan to attack his saints, his disciples? So Satan wanted to shake, to remove our faith. So actually, this is purpose. Suffering is a trial of faith. So suffering is a test of whether we trust in God more than in things or others. You know, when we are in difficulty, physically or no matter what, when we just hit a block, say, oh, I don't know where to go, what to do, then this is the test. Whether you want to rely on God, kneel down to pray, ask Holy Spirit to give us a guidance, or you turn to others, or you tend to rely on things which you possess, or your own ability, or your friend, or your friend's friends, whoever. Or we spend time, we fast and pray, ask Lord Jesus to give us a way, to give us the enlightenment, what's going on and what we are going to do. Right? Job is a good example. Satan special asked God to give him the permission to test Job. Right? But we can see how later Job, he endured, and then he become so worthy to receive even more blessing, right? More abundantly. Double portion in everything. Okay, so that's why sometimes we can hear some speaker, they cite all different kind of the topic, but they make a statement, say suffering actually is a blessing, but has been covered with a so ugly, but inside actually is a good thing for us. We have to really understand his God's purpose. Okay, number six. So what are the righteous things with God to do when the Lord Jesus is revealed in heaven with his mighty angels? From verse 6 to verse 8. Okay? From verse 6 to verse 8, try to find out. So the Bible, Paul said, which is in verse 6, right? It is a righteous things with God to do things. So what is that? At least three things. That is a righteous thing. Number one, what is first? Christopher. Yeah. You see the Bible. Oh. It is a righteous thing with God to do what? What is number one? Verse 6. Yes. This is what the Bible say. Right? Caleb put on the... No. Answer first. Okay. So, repay tribulation to those who trouble you. So God will judge everything. So we don't have to deal with the situation with ourselves. God will do it for us. But we have to wait. We have to have patience to wait God to work. Okay. Second. Next. Okay. To give you rest, right? So in verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When God comes, when Lord Jesus returns, he will give us a rest. This is everlasting, this is eternal rest. Okay. Okay. Number three, in verse 8. He will take vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel. So God will show up his heart to those who really don't recognize him, don't accept him. Because this is not a time to talk about love, but it's time really to be just. Righteousness is also called just, right? Just. So if we know the gospel, we better to obey it. Otherwise, in the future, God will he will call us and then ask why, and then at that time, then what will we answer him? Right? Okay. So this is in verse 6 to 8, number 7. What does the Lord Jesus Christ expect from us when he comes in the day? What does Lord Jesus expect from us? In verse 10. Ariel. To be glorified. He, in verse 10, to be glorified in whom? In his sense, so in us, right? So God expects us to glorify him. So our totality, our life, must glorify God. Okay? What is the next? There's another thing here. In verse 10, Aileen, where? To be God admired. Okay, so to be admire in all them that believe. So we have to really show our thanksgiving, and we have to really know, wow, how wonderful this God's salvation. Right? Because at that moment, we know everything. We know why God arranged the salvation in such a way. Right? Because we may not know everything at this moment, but when we face God, we know it. He will reveal everything. So we must be admired, to admire him. So answer, please. Next. Continue. Okay. Number eight. What might be a practical way of coping with persecution according to the Second Thessalonians? See, if we have persecution or we are encounter tribulation, what are we going to do? What is the practical way we can cultivate ourselves, to prepare ourselves? Regarding to the persecution or tribulation, who is the model for us to learn? Who? Persecution. Huh? What do you think, Brendan? Paul? Okay, but Paul is not perfect, though. Jesus. We do need a perfect character. Jesus shows us what is so-called perseverance, right? Endurance for glorifying God. So we must imitate Jesus. He died on the cross. This is something we just cannot imagine. How much suffer he endured, right? So Please give us answer. Answer, please. So become imitators of Jesus Christ. From 2 Thessalonians. Because we are welcoming Jesus, right? He will return to us. So he wants to receive glory from us. For what? If we can really show his image in this world, become a light of this world, then this is what he expects. So this is a practical way. If we imitate Jesus, then any persecution we can easily to deal with. Next, B. We have to know that suffering is not a test of knowledge, but a test of faith, and know that we will prevail in him in the end. If Jesus returns and then we fail, then what is the point? At that moment, then we will be trembling, right? We are waiting for punishment or suffering. But if we really pass the test, we prevail, then this is the moment we receive glory. We receive the reward. Okay, so this is very important. That's why we learn a lot things from the Bible about Jesus Christ. Okay, number nine. So what five things does Paul pray for in behalf of the Thessalonians from verse 11 to verse 12? There are five things. You just count the Bible verse, huh? There are five things he prayed for them. The first, Aries. From verse 11 to verse 12. Can anyone help? Friends, brothers, Eric, Alex. Find it? There it is. Okay, so first, right? Yes, you are right. So God will count you worthy of this calling. So, if we want to be counted worthy of this calling, we do need someone to pray for us. Okay? So, this is how we intercede for others. Sometimes, our friend or brother, sister, or our church member, they are in trial. We pray for them, not just ask God to remove the obstacle or make the things easier. But actually, we do pray for them that they be counted as worthy of his calling, meaning they have faith to stand firm in this difficulty. They have faith to overcome it, to rely on God totally. Right? So, just like we pray for some sickness, someone are here, they have no power. But if we pray for them, then they can stay firm. They can really have faith in Jesus. Even though physically They may just fail. They cannot sustain. They maybe pass away. But it doesn't matter. Right? Because their faith stands firm. Faith is more important. God received them and they have faith raised. Okay, so count worthy. We can give thanks to God even though we are very weak. We are very difficult in our life, right? Okay, so count them worthy of his calling. Second, God fulfilled all the good pleasure of his goodness. What is that so-called? God, by fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, because we are so weak, but God is so powerful. God is the Almighty God. If we rely on him, he will fulfill our life to fulfill his will. And his will is to do good work. We become a good person, a good testimony to spread this gospel. So Paul specially prayed for Thessalonians. Number three, God fulfilled the work of faith with power. So that's why, you know, if we intercede for each other, if we really care about this faith and want to help others, we have to really understand this meaning. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, yes. Verse 13, please. 13, please. Philippians 2, 13. Please read. Grace. Okay, so it is God who works in you both to will and to do all his good pleasure. So we rely on God's power. Our life has purpose, which is designed by God. So God has power. If we really want to fulfill his will, God will help us. So that's why we have to learn from Daniel, right? Daniel, he set his goal, purpose on his mind. He wanted to, he don't want to be defiled through the king's delicacy and the drink. Okay, number four, D. The name of Jesus Christ may be glorified in them. So that's why, you know, our prayer, we have to always remember, if our brother or sister, they are in difficulty, we pray for them. They can sustain. They can really endure it. So God's name will not be defiled. God's name must be glorified. So if our member fail, then means the law is powerless, right? But on the contrary, if we overcome it, then showing our law is mighty. Okay, so for the name of Jesus be glorified. This is how Paul prayed for Thessalonians. Number five. They may be glorified in him. We receive also the same glory. Okay? So we share. That's why in the beginning, Adam, he received the glory of God. He shared God put some of his work to Adam to accomplish it. So Adam is supposed to glorify God, also receive the glory from God. But unfortunately, he fell. Right? So that's why in Romans chapter 3, verse 22. 23. Check. Okay. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is our sinful, this is the reality of humankind. Without the redemption of Jesus, we are all short of God's glory. But after redemption, we receive the glory. The story of God has been restored to us. So Paul prayed for the member, right? They may be glorified in him, in Jesus. We can be glorified. Because when Jesus returns, he is like a king. The king is coming. We will be glorified in him. Okay, so this is the chapter 1. Let's turn to chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Do you have your hand out for chapter 2? Yes. Okay. So the objective of this chapter 2, is to examine what is revealed about the man of sin, whom the Lord will destroy at his coming. So before Jesus returns, there is a big sign. This so-called Antichrist will reveal himself and to be this man of sin sit on the seat of God and receive all the human worship as a God. Okay. But God will destroy it. The second is to consider how those who do not have a love for the truth and setting themselves up to be deceived by the man of sin. So the key is, if we have a heart of love the truth, we really care about truth, not love of the pressure of this world, then we will not be deceived. So whether we can stand firm or not depends on our attitude toward the truth. So that's why we have to cultivate ourselves, try to learn as much as possible, so we really have the heart to love this truth. Then if someone come in to try to deceive us, we can defend for our faith. We know what's wrong. We know what is truth. We are not going to compromise. Number 3, to discern why God will send a strong delusion to some that they will believe a lie. So this is something related to each other. If we don't lie, we don't have a heart to love the truth, then okay, this so-called strong delusion will come upon us. Then we just become blind. We cannot hear, we cannot discern what's wrong. Then, of course, as a human being, we tend to turn to a lie. Because lie always pack and cover it with a beautiful word. You know, a lie sometimes make you so happy. Right? Some people may say beautiful word, try to please you, but that's probably not true. So people tend to like lie. So liar is so popular, actually. Okay, so the summary of this chapter, after we started verse by verse, we get it, or you can read by yourself from the handout. Okay, let's turn to verse 1. From verse 1 to verse 2. Please read. Verse 1 to verse 2. have it. Can you read it?
Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come.
Okay. So, in these two verse 1, to verse 2, here it says, do not be troubled. Do not be troubled concerning the return of Jesus or our gathering together unto him. So when Jesus come, right, all people will be gathered together in front of his judgment throne. So concerning this gathering, in verse 2, he said that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. So someone tried to use their own word to deceive members about this final judgment day. So by false report, as though the day of Jesus has come. So this heresy, we can see in especially after in the later of apostolic time in 2 Peter and the Book of Jude, you can see how much false teaching has been spread among the churches. Okay, so some may say, oh, this I received a revelation from the Spirit. Holy Spirit told me when or on which day Jesus will come. Or right now, Jesus is coming. Or someone proclaimed she or he is the Christ. So in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, when you heard this, don't believe. Don't go out to see. You know, this is a lie. Okay, so do not be troubled, either by word, by spirit, by letter. At that time, nobody to verify the signature, right? So someone may just sign Paul's name and then just say, okay, this is from Paul, but actually it's wrong. Okay, so continue from verse 3 to verse 12. Verse 3 to verse 12. This big section is called "Is falling away must come first." So, verse 3 to verse 5. Can someone read? So, the day of Christ will not come until a falling away comes first. Okay, so many people will turn away from the truth. So we have to see that. Then we may ask, okay, who will turn away? This falling away, many people they forsake this faith. Who are they? Am I one of them? Ask yourself. Can I stand firm when a lot of people just falling away? Will I follow them? Okay. And in verse 4, say, the man of sin This is called lawlessness. It's revealed. Who is the man of sin? It's so-called son of perdition, right? Perdition. Just like in the Bible, who has been called the son of perdition? Anyone remember? Jesus called one of his disciples the son of perdition. Judas. Where is the verse? Let's turn to John chapter 17. Gospel John 17, verse 12. Please read. Verse 12, right? Amen. Okay, so Judah, he has been called the son of perdition. But Judah, he appeared in the history, we know it. But before Jesus returned, there is another man called the man of sin. He's a son of perdition, will reveal also. So we don't know who is this guy, right? But eventually we will know. When the time closer, we know. Okay? So who opposed and exalted himself above all? So in the chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. He exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. So that he as God sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is a person so dare to boast himself, a human being as God. Okay. And in verse 5, Paul mentioned, I told you already. So he mentioned this situation when he still was there in Thessalonica with them. But they probably forgot it. So that's why Paul reminded them, I have told you this before. From verse 6 to verse 7, the man of sin is being restrained right now. So something hold on this man of sin. To reveal to from verse 6 to verse 8 to verse 6 to 8, please read. Okay, so because the time is not come yet, so this man has been restrained. But when God come, he will destroy it. So in verse 8, when then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Okay, so this man of sin has been limited in certain way. So they cannot do whatever he wants. But there's a so-called mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So meaning Satan actually is work very hard, try to deceive the members, try to destroy the work of God. But they cannot just behave freely. They have a limitation because the time is not come yet, but will come. Okay. So for this section, let's turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 11 to 15, please read. Okay, so this beast, the second beast come out of earth. So actually, this description, this section, related to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this section. So this beast, great power, can do wonders and to deceive many. And he has power to give life unto the image of the beast. So even the elect were confused. So in the Revelation, this is a timing. When the time approach, this great power, this man of sin will reveal to perform miracles. This is a great deception, actually. But right now, this turn back to chapter 2, verse 8. But here he says, the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. In verse 9, even him whose coming is later is after the working of Satan with all power and the signs and lying wonders. You can see this man of sin can do a lot. In verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay, so here is mentioned about heart. So in the handout, if we look at this coming of the lawless one, from verse 9 to 10, say, will be counted to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish. So, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they may be saved. So, the love of the truth is important. Okay? And in verse 11 to 12, for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion because they do not believe the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, so this section is a sign before his returning. Okay, all right. From 13 to 17, steadfastness encouraged. So thanksgiving and a call to steadfast. So we are bound to give thanks to God for you. Verse 13, this is how Paul, he gives another encouragement and thanksgiving. You are chosen by God from the beginning for salvation. You are sanctified by the Spirit, you believe the truth. So that's why he gives thanks. You are beloved of the Lord. God called you by our gospel. God called you for obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught by word, by our apostle. So this is a key verse, 2:15, our key verse. So our prayer for you, this is another prayer. May the Lord Jesus himself and our God and the Father, who loved us, who has given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. And may God comfort your heart, establish you in every good work and the word. Okay, so in this chapter, this is a correction for some wrong concept. Prepare them to stay fast against the men of sin, to encourage them, try to find a heart for loving the truth, to prevent us be deceived or the delusion. The delusion is if delusion come to us, then we just cannot tell what is true. So people don't like the truth, cannot accept anymore. So that's why once a person has been worked by Satan, no matter how much you talk to the person, they don't get it. They just something block their ears. They just cannot receive the message. You know, sometimes children behave the same thing. Do you still remember when you are in age 2 or 3? You are in the so-called Terror War 2. Do you remember how difficult your parents experience? Do you still remember that? Probably not, right? You are so good. So you listen to your parents. But in reality, every one of us has gone through a certain period of time. We just cannot receive, we cannot get the point. Sometimes we just insist so much in our own opinion, right? We reject to listen to parents, to others. Right? But once we grew up, we become more mature, then we understand, oh, how come I'm so stubborn? So this is called delusion. Sometimes it's related to our body. But once we grow up, especially for our faith, we have to cultivate ourselves very carefully. Try to maintain a heart for loving the truth. Otherwise, we may just easily to be deceived by others. Some false teachings. It looks so fancy, so wonderful, but actually, this is a poison. So the better way is to return to the Bible, really understand Lord Jesus Christ, then we know, and we can stand fast. Okay. We are not alone. Actually, we pray to each other, just like Paul prayed for the members in Thessalonica. They can stand fast. So remember your fellow brothers and sisters in your prayer. If someone are still praying for the Holy Spirit, our intercession is very important. So we may also in a time we do need so much for someone to pray for us. Because if we are powerless, our spiritual friend can give us power, can help us, and they can make a petition to the Lord, and God, the Lord will answer to their prayer. Okay, so we will continue in the next section. Let's pray in silence.